Gracious and loving Father, we come before you first and foremost just to thank you, Lord, for the breath of life that we have in our bodies. Just for your presence dwelling among us, my God. Lord, though we are so unworthy, unfixed, broken in so many ways, my God, thank you that you tabernacle with us. Holy Father, I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, because your word is true, Lord, when you say apart from you, we can do nothing. Our greatest attempt at righteousness, our greatest attempt at religion, our greatest attempt at serving you, my God, apart from your spirit is vanity. So thank you for your spirit, my God. Lamb of God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the consecration of your life, my Lord, and I just pray that your spirit of consecration may emerge in this atmosphere now, Lord. That your people, my God, may understand the responsibility of consecration, Lord. That we as your people, Lord, carriers of your presence, Lord, may take delight in walking set apart, Lord, and not being common in this hour, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of your servants in this household. We thank you for the humility. We thank you for the ability, my God, to hear your voice. Lord, may we not take this for granted, Lord. Help us to become more sensitive to your presence, my God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the word that will go forth this day. Lord, sanctify your people by your word this morning. Sanctify your people this morning, Lord. We need you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're coming to drink from you this morning, Lord. Though the vessel you use this morning is Pastor Michael, Lord Jesus, we're coming to drink from you. So may the cup that is offered through Pastor Michael, hallelujah, come from your hand, Lord Jesus. Touch and anoint his lips. Touch and anoint our ears. Touch and anoint our hearts to receive, Lord, on good soil, Lord, that when we leave these walls, we may not leave your presence. That the enemy may not snatch what you sown into us, my God. Be it deliverance, be it healing. Hallelujah. Lord, give your children this morning the grace to walk in our deliverance. To maintain it, Lord, not to fall away, Lord. Not to be double-minded, Lord. Not to be half-hearted in our commitment to you, Lord. Not to be convenient when it comes to serving you, Lord. But being willing to sacrifice all and anything that you ask of us, my God, because you deserve it. Lord, I thank you for every family that is present now, Lord. And may it not just be for the season, Lord Jesus, because you're eternal. As we go through this life, Lord, your word has declared our life does not consist in possessions only. So Jesus, we thank you that because of you and in you, we have eternal life, my Lord. Teach us to abide in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to abide in you, Lord Jesus, as you the Father. Hallelujah. Touch our minds, Lord. Help us to see the flesh for what it is, Lord. Help us to see sin for what it is, Lord. Let those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. We're desperate for you this morning, Lord. Touch our hearts and our minds, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You know, as God has been moving in our midst for the last month and a half or two, when God comes, what he is doing is he is breaking us, humbling us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. People, when God comes in, be where he is. You can be in the vicinity of the anointing, but your heart could be far away. Harden not your hearts. As Sister Sheila, I wrote it down, not exactly the way she said it. You have to be where the Lord is to receive what he has for you. Hallelujah. The Lord has said, get in the boat and come over where I am. God is an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
He is a living God. We go through things. We go through difficulties. And sometimes we just don't understand. Paul, it says in the scriptures, Paul prayed thrice, three times. There are many that walk with Jesus. I can't answer it, but there are some that walked with Jesus, worshipped him, walked side by side, and they weren't healed. Paul said, but nevertheless, I'm going to follow you, Lord. Sometimes we go through things, and God keeps it there as a buffet to call. See, he knows. I don't know. But sometimes God keeps that thing, that thorn in the flesh, there to keep you pushing towards him. Because some of us, he knows, if the healing come, there you go. All right. Lord, have mercy. Mercy is one of God's greatest blessings to mankind. You can't be merciful if you don't have the love of God. You can be saved. But you don't have mercy. We all need mercy.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain, they shall receive mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
We tend to think that when something happens, I deserve to be in the flesh, whatever that may be for you. Oh, look at what they did. I deserve. Did you know there is never any deserving of being sinful?
Come on, man.
Look at what was done to me. And you saying to yourself, I deserve to act nasty. Oh, I deserve to get in my closet and start cursing. Or you get in your prayer closet and you're praying the beat up prayers. Beating the folk up in the prayer. I tell folk, don't play, pray for me. Don't pray for me. I get beat up enough. Because I need mercy. We all need mercy. Merciful people are merciful to people. When you meet Christians and it seems like ain't no mercy, I don't want that Jesus. I don't want that Jesus because I need mercy. Because I mess up from time to time. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't always holy. You might think you are. God says, be ye holy for I am holy. He knows what is holy. How do you be holy? What God is saying, be ye dedicated to me as I am dedicated to you. That's holiness. Obey the word of God. That's holiness. It's simple. We make things too complicated. Whew. John 15, 12, 13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Not necessarily you have to die physically, but you die to yourself. See, it's what most Christians, it's all about me. What I can get out of it. Well, what can you give? Mercy. 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 We need mercy to love. We need mercy to overcome. We see, we need mercy to walk victorious.
I face the power.
It's mercy.
Sin on my own. I did not know of a place I could go, where I could find a way to heal my wounds. So,
Y'all can stay where you are. It's all God. That's all I want. Just to be in His presence is enough. Just to be in God's presence is enough. You have to ask yourself, why isn't it enough for me?
He's heard the prayer. He's heard the prayer. And he says yes.
Thank you, Lord. Boy, I'm discombobulated. Mercy is a gift given to the guilty. We all are guilty. I know my eyes bloodshot, puffed up, everything about now. God is bringing us to a place where we come out of ourselves. Some of you need to be delivered, not from a demon, not from a devil, but from yourself.
Amen.
Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. God is a merciful, merciful God. Mercy is a word that we hear used in the legal system. Bear with me a minute. After the conviction has been made, the jury has unanimously declared your guilt. And after the conviction has made, the sentence is about to be handed down.
Amen.
Mercy is begged for. Mercy is begged for. But your advocate may say, we would like to throw ourselves at the mercy of the court. My client has a wife, 3 children. We beg for mercy, leniency, as we hear in the legal system. Mercy is not found in a state of innocence. Hold on to that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When an appeal for mercy is invoked, it is your only hope. There is no prayer that your defense argument will prevail. There is no hope that reasonable doubt will be established. The only hope is that the gavel will not come down with the sentence that have now been declared worthy of, that the judge now will show mercy. Always remember, Christ is the ultimate judge.
Amen.
We cry for mercy. We cry for mercy. Be merciful on me, my Lord. Be merciful on me, my Lord, for I am a flawed being. Be merciful on me, my Lord, for I know my thoughts from yesterday. Be merciful on me, my Lord. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Lord, have mercy. The person who refuses mercy destroys the very bridge over which they themselves must cross. The person who refuses to show mercy destroys the very bridge over which they themselves must cross over. Cross over where? To Jesus. To the Lord. Be not deceived. I don't care who you are. Those who are listening by YouTube, be not deceived. It doesn't matter how many churches you have. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you soweth, that shall you also reap. Yet we live in a time when our hearts have grown cold and insensitive to the needs of others. As we become self-absorbed and not seeing our common plight in the needs of others. Listen to this one. Take, for instance, the current event that happened in Texas. A lady actually ran down a homeless man and did nothing to help him, but ignored his pain and allowed him to die right in front of her. All right, I have 4 points that I will try to touch on briefly this morning. The first point is we must realize our constant need for mercy. Sometimes you've been saved for a minute or two and you've been in this walk for a minute or two. Some of you have received education, some not. Some have been here, some have not. Some have been in various churches preaching, some have not. But that doesn't constitute growth spiritually. Because I've met some preachers and I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. I've talked to some of those rascals, and it's all about this and building almost like monuments to themselves. They're so self-absorbed in self as opposed to being self-absorbed with the Lord. You can be busy in ministry and not busy for the Lord. Yeah, you can. Because you have the wrong motives. Your motives are not pure. God wants to bring us to a place of purity in Him. Purity in Him. The second point, to show mercy is to acknowledge our desperate need for mercy. If you don't feel you need mercy, I pity you. Point three, mercy is the summation of the law. It sums it up. Mercy, mercy, mercy. The fourth point, become a conduit of God's mercy. See, we get so self-centered. And many of us mean to do the right thing, but sometimes, for whatever reason, we get off track the wrong way. And we're going down the wrong track. All God wants to do is put us back on the right track. Stop resisting Him. Because He's going to break you one way or another. You can harden yourself. We crying out for God just let you know this. If you don't want God, this ain't the place for you. I'm telling you. Because I don't want you holding back what God want to do amongst us. I want to be with people who are crying out for God. Because if I see the glory of God on you, I'm going to come and I want to rub elbows with you. Because I want to be where he is. I don't want to be where you are. Because ain't no anointing on none of us. You don't got no anointing. It's the God. It's the presence of God. Come on here. You ain't no. Foolish preachers thinking the church need them. No, the church need the Lord. You about as messed up, jacked up. Thinking that the people need you because you got all your education. Don't know nothing. Ain't no anointing. People, it's the anointing that breaks. I keep saying break. God wanna break you like a twig. Let him do it. So all that mess can ooze out you. Let him break you so all that mess can come out, because it's too much of you and not enough of him. We must realize our constant need of mercy. What it means to live under grace is illustrated in the life of John Newton. Newton was born in London half a century before the American Revolution to a mother of superb spiritual qualities and a nondescript father. His mother died when he was 6. 5 years later, at the age of 11, he went to sea with his father, who was a ship captain. He became a midshipman and for a time led a wild existence, living in utterly disgrace. He rejected the God of his mother. He renounced the need for religion, and he lived an irresponsible and sinful life. Eventually, he became a slave trader, crossing the ocean several times as captain of a slave ship, responsible for terrible human degradation among the captives he had crowned and crowded on the ship. But grace was always a factor. He survived a deadly fever in Africa, and his ship survived a terrible storm which almost killed him. Finally, dissatisfied with his life, he began reading the writings of Thomas A. Kempis. Okay? Thomas was a German Dutch who was a member of the clergy of the late medieval period and the author of The Imitation of Christ. That book is still out there. It's an awesome book. Because we are to imitate Christ. The Imitation of Christ. One of the most popular and best known Christian devotional books. But somehow the Holy Spirit began stirring inside John's soul, awakening him from sin, urging him towards salvation until he finally gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was so thoroughly converted, in fact, that he felt a call on his life to enter the ministry. He was eventually ordained in 1781 and accepted a pastoralship in only England. What's a famous song, Don't You, by John Newton? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I read that because we all need mercy. If God could save him, who was basically trafficking slaves, and transform him. People, never forget where you came from. Never forget the mercy that God has showed you and is still showing you. Stop being merciless to people. If you continue, if you look hard enough, you're going to find some problems. Why are you looking for it? Why are you looking for problems? Just love. I challenge anyone in here right now, and you who are listening, which one of you have obtained perfection today? Similar to, let he who is without sin cast a first, and none of us. I don't care who you are. Bishop, doctor, elder, deacon, prophet, prophetess. You still jacked up. And you need mercy. And you need to come to the mercy seat. Man don't need man. Man need God. Man don't need man. We need Jesus. Our greatest need is for mercy. If our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, he would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, he would have sent an economist. But our greatest need was for mercy. So he sent us a Savior. Jesus Christ, who was born for you and me. All of what he did and still doing is our reasonable service to give him all of us. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy that we all need. When you are very, very critical, you lack mercy, which means you lack love. I don't care how much scripture you can quote, Bible toting. If you are a judgmental, it's hypocrisy. You can't see yourself. All you're seeing is the stuff in other people. Well, look at what he said. Look at her. Where your mercy? do he think he is? Where is your mercy? Don't be a fault finder, people. God will not move in that. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. As God begins to, let me tell you something. The reason why, before I preach, I try to have a bunch of things, people singing, dancing, whatever God put on my heart, because it ain't about me. It's about us. Don't think you got it all together. It's about, what does God say? We are what? The body. A head walking around, a head can't walk. Go roll around like a bowling ball. We need one another. I need you. Guess what, though? You need me, too. Pastor Tony says something. It is something about the vessel. Said it last week, I believe. We need one another. You ain't the only one that's anointed. Or God wants to pour the anointing on. Come out of yourself. Don't you just want God? We get in the way. I've seen preachers trying to force the anointing. Don't try to force. God don't need our help. That's why I told Colin, get off the drums. Nothing personally against him. It wasn't nothing against him. No. God don't need us. He want us. We need him. And he don't need our help. He God all by himself. You can't force the anointing. Let the anointing fall. You can't force the anointing. Let the anointing fall because of your brokenness. I'm telling you the truth. Read about the revivals throughout the scripture. Every revival has come through just a handful of folk falling upon our knees, crying out for Abba Father. Nothing more, nothing less. You don't want to pray? I pity you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, there's a reason why he put these four things. My house should be called a house of... Ask God to help you. The key is you have to be sincere with God. It's not lip service. You have to get right with God and say, God, I'm messed up. He said, I'm messed up. God said, come on, let me pick you up. I got you. He's not a taskmaster. He loves us. That brother said something last week. He ain't angry. He misses us. Yes. Ain't that what you said? He misses us. Right. He miss you. He misses that relationship. That one-on time, that me time with him. He says that he's a jealous God. Let me tell you something. The God we serve is a needy God. Yeah, he is. He desires our love. He desires our commitment. That's right. He desires our obedience.
That's right. That's right.
We're created in his image. Are you needy? No. I can't look at my wife. Woo! This is the God we serve. It's time to get it right. If not now, then when? Some of you 40, some of you 50, some of you 60, some of you 70, some of you 80, some of you almost 90. If not now, when you gonna get it together? Time is short. Twinkling of an eye. God gives where he finds empty hands of brokenness. When we allow God to break us, he said, I'm ready. Your hands are empty. A man whose hands are full cannot receive the gift of God, what he wants to give you. Because you refuse to empty yourself. You refuse to put down those things that you want to hold on to. I want to hold on to my bitterness. I want to hold on to my anger, my jealousy. You better take your eyes off of people and put your eyes on God. Well, I don't like that person. But God ain't say you got to like them. But you got to love them. Love is the greatest force in the universe. Mercy, mercy, mercy. To show mercy is to acknowledge our desperate need for mercy. Our mercy on others feels the plight of their pain. See, when you're merciful, when you really, really love, you become compassionate. You need to get it out your brain. Well, I don't feel like doing stuff. It ain't fun. Where is that at in the scripture? Well, I can't. You need more Jesus. You need more of the Lord in your life. I don't care how long you've been in this thing for, how long. Ain't nothing worse than a stupid old Christian boasting about all your accolades and what your accomplishments and what you've done, and you're still acting like a Christian that just got saved. But you have the knowledge, ever learning. It has to trickle down from here to here, people. That's where it has to go. Other than that, it's no good. Rather than blaming guilty for their sufferings, we extend the hand of mercy, the mercy seat. Merciful people are merciful to people. Hands of mercy. At the house of mercy. The Good Samaritan picked up the hurting, helped him, ministered to him. But the religious, they passed by the other side with an attitude. Do you got an attitude? Some of your attitudes stink. I'm telling the truth. It's not, I'm just preaching. If the shoe fit, put it on and tie it up. Some of your attitudes stink. You want to do ministry, but you're stinking. And you can't, there's nothing worse than a person stinking like hog heaven. And they don't, they stink so bad they can't even smell their own self. The Western Times. I'm a Western guy. I was looking at a Western the other day. I forgot the name of it. And this guy had been in the wilderness. And he had been held captive by the Indians. So he released, he escaped. And he came into this town. Everybody was backing up. I mean, everybody was backing up. They were saying, you need a bath. I mean, literally burning their noses. Why am I saying that? Because some of you stink spiritually. There's no mercy. There's no love. You can't have mercy without love. You cannot have mercy without love. Number three, mercy is the summation of the law. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? We have gone over this and over this and over this. I had this in one of my sermons, Pastor Linda. Junie and I talked about it one day and back in the back. We'd be just sitting down talking, shooting the breeze. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with your whole being. That's all God wants. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all, every single law. It is simple. God wants to break us, to empty you of yourself. We all need deliverance from ourselves. You think you need deliverance from a devil? Well, some of you. God wants to break us and deliver us from ourselves. Because you got too much of you in you. Minister Sheila said that basically when the rubber meets the road, whatever your both spirit and your flesh, this is the flesh. This is what God says. Bring every thought under captivity. As a man thinketh, so is he. That's work. I continue to say work the word. Walk the word. Stop being lazy. You want God to do it for you. God done all he going to do right now. You got some work to do. Allow him to break you. People, once we're broken, we're going to love God with our whole being. Guess what? When you begin to love God, you begin to fall in love with your brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you this now. Don't even talk about going out there witnessing and street witnessing if you can't even love your brother and sister right here. That's hypocrisy. Don't even thinking about going out there messing with a drug addict. Because I was one of them. Selling drugs, all that. I would have jacked you up. I could tell right then who was for real and who was phony. Want to go out there and do all these evangelistic stuff and won't even speak. Won't even speak to your sister who's sitting right by you. What kind of mess is this? Don't want even, no, I don't even want to look at him, but I want to go out there and win the sin. You can't win nobody. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. It's the anointing of God on your life that will draw people to him. You can't draw nobody to the Lord. We say some stuff, and God has had enough. Because it's all about God. You think I'm angry? Let God come in here. God said, I pity you. Don't fear the one that can destroy the body. You better fear the one that can destroy the body and cast the soul into hell. I'd rather make you mad and you get in there with God than to tell you all these sweet stuff and you bust hell wide open. Rather than remembering a list of commandments, we ought to study the word, study to show yourself approved, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of God. But rather than remembering a list of commandments, ain't nothing worse when I talk to a Christian and they constantly quoting scripture at me. I get real upset. Or if I'm in a place where I'm just sick, and you quoting scriptures, I just need somebody to love me right now. That's all. I don't need nobody to be religious with me. I need somebody to hold my hand and to be there with me, to help me through this. Rather than remembering a list of commandments, ask yourself these two questions. Am I motivated by love and compassion? This is for all of us. Amen. And me. Ask you that. Ask yourself, are you motivated by love and compassion? Be honest with yourself. Do you love others the way Christ loved you? This message is not to beat nobody down. I'm just preaching the truth. And the truth shall set you free. I need the word of God just as much as you. Because I get dirty too. But I do want God to continue to break me. So that he can pour His glory. See, God is preparing to bring the souls in here that need the spiritual hospital. But you got to get out of the way and let God do what he want to do. God, see, you filled with pride and arrogance. God may say, no, today my anointing is on him. Are you too prideful to get out the way? God may say, no, not today. Today, I got my son, Eric. Are you too prideful today? God may say, I'm placing my anointing on Mother Lois today. Are you ready to get out of the way and just be in the presence of God? Understand, this is God's house. He can use whomever he wants. He don't care what you think. It don't amount to a hill of beans. As long as God is in the house, people. I don't want to come to church and God ain't in the house. I really don't. I can stay home. I can stay home and watch a game, pray a little bit, watch my westerns. I don't need. I come to church because I want God. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In closing, become a conduit of God's mercy. Look at it like this. I believe I shared this with Devin last week. There is no power in not one of you. Take the Holy Spirit out you. There ain't no power in you. Ain't no demon scared of you. You, matter of fact, you better leave him alone. But look at it like this. Just like dominion power. Okay? And they have nuclear power. They have coal power. And they also have, with the water, hydropower. But it's all power that produces electricity to go from home to home, business to business, boom, boom, boom. You cut. Stop it all. The lines are still up. But ain't no power. If it's winter, you cold. Summer, you hot. Conduit. Stretch your arms. I would like everybody to stretch their arms out. Literally. We're like the power line. The source is God. When we break, when we allow God to break us, his power flows through us. Did you know it ain't for you? The reason why he wants to get you out of the way and get you broken so that when he use you to bring forth healing, you ain't all prideful. Oh, look at what God did through me today. You ain't saying it to nobody, but you in your closet talking like that. Oh, look how God used me today. You just a conduit. Be a conduit. It's God. He's the power source. And he wants to flow through us. But he can't flow if there's too much of you in the way. It's simple. Food for thought. Freely you have received, freely give. Show mercy with acts of kindness to people you don't like. Uh-huh. It says, bless those that persecute, bless and curse not. Well, that's what the scripture says. Stop running up underneath people that you know like you. Make yourself available to everybody, to everyone. Be a conduit to everyone. God says, I'm not a respecter person. Don't just show love to one person. Show it to all. As Jesus. Be a bridge to extend the mercy you have received. If you saved. Our goal should never be to condemn or to judge the lost, but just to extend the love of the Savior and to show the bridge of mercy. I'm closing with this story here from Dear Abby. This is a very powerful story. It literally, everything brings me to tears to seeing here lately since God has been showing up in this place. And he's always been here, but in a greater, tangible way. Always been here. But he's preparing us. See, we're able to stand in his presence a little bit longer. He can come more and more and more. See, if he had come 2 years ago, the way he came this morning and last week and all, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Sometimes when God comes on, sometimes it literally feels like you're going to blow up. A young man, I really want you to listen to this. A young man from a wealthy family was about to graduate from high school. And it was a custom in their affluent community for parents to give their graduating children a new car. And the boy and his dad had spent weeks visiting one particular dealership after another. The week before graduation, they found the perfect car at this dealership. And the boy was certain that it would be in the driveway on graduation night. On the eve of his graduation, however, his father handed him a small package wrapped in colorful paper. The father said the package contained the most valuable gift that he could think of, and it was a Bible. The boy, though, was so angry that he threw the Bible down and stormed out of the house. He and his father never saw each other again. Several years later, the news of the father's death finally brought the son home again. Following the funeral, he sat alone one evening going through his father's possessions that he was about to inherit when he came across the Bible that his father had given him that he had thrown in the floor. Overwhelmed by grief, he brushed away the dirt and the dust, cracked it open for the very first time. When he did, a cashier's check dated the day of his high school graduation fell into his lap in the exact amount of the car they had chosen together. The gift had been there all along, but he had turned away. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, it's nice, but God doesn't command that we celebrate the birth of Christ. It doesn't say that in Scripture. It's the reason why he don't even tell us exactly when he was born. Don't be a CEO Christian. Some of you CEO Christians, you are listening. You're Christmas and Easter only. No. Just celebrate Christ every day. Why does it have to be a special day? He does stuff for me every day. You do know God ain't impressed with Christmas. First off, it ain't word. What God is impressed with is our obedience. You can celebrate until you blue in the face and be a rebellious rascal. Or you might just be religious. What's the purpose of celebrating and you still stinking like Hog Haggin? You still hate your brother. You still hate yourself. What? I don't want that. Uh-uh. All of us have to be more like Christ. I have to be more like Christ. Let me tell you something. When you neglect your time with Christ, every last one of us begin to stink. When you neglect, when we neglect our time with Christ, we are not very sweet people. You might think you are. I need Jesus. Because if I ain't walking with Jesus, I might jack you up. I might say something that ain't godly. Lord, have mercy. Mercy is the greatest gift. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us. Let mercy, let love be your banner. But let God break you. All eyes closed, our heads bowed. You may have been in church. And you who are listening, you may have been in church. You might be on the deacon board. You might be a sister pastor. You might be the head pastor. But you can't remember the very day. You may not know the year, the hour, the time, but you don't remember the day that you really gave your life to the Lord. If you feel, now you can raise your hand. If you raise your hand for, I'm not going to pray for you because it's foolish. But if you feel that you've been in church, but you really have not given your life to the Lord or your allegiance to God, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. I'm telling you, we all have a destination. And we all one day will leave this planet. And we will have to stand before God. You will either go to the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. It's up to you which one. If you want to be saved, and you want to walk in peace, ain't no shame in your game, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Okay. I'm just going to pray. Lord God, Father, as I walk, let your mercy fall. Let your mercy fall. Let your glory fall. Let your mercy fall, Father. God, we need your mercy. Lord God, rid us of us. Let your mercy fall. Lord God, let your mercy fall. Let your mercy fall. We need you, Lord. We need your love. Lord God, we need to be broken. We cry out for you. Lord God, we don't cry out for stuff. Lord God, we don't cry out for notoriety. Lord God, we cry out for you. Lord God, let your mercy fall. Let your mercy fall, Father. Let your mercy consume us, Lord God. Show us, Lord God. Let your mercy fall, Father. Let your glory come upon us. Consume us, Lord God. Let your fire fall, Lord God. Burn us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your glory fall, Father. Oh, let your glory fall, Father God. Let your mercy just fall. Lord, have mercy on us. We come, Lord God. We say, have your way in our lives. Lord God, we submit unto you. Lord God, we all say we saved. But Lord God, now, Lord God, you are our Savior. But now we say you are truly our Lord. Lord God, we make you Lordship over our lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let your mercy fall, Lord God. Let your mercy fall. Let your mercy fall. Let your mercy fall, Father God. Let your mercy fall. Let not your mercy not touch any of us. Let it touch all of us, Lord God. Let your mercy fall, Father. Oh, let your mercy fall, Father God. Oh, God, let us be merciful, Lord God, as you are merciful with us. Oh, God, let your mercy fall, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for visiting us, Lord God. We thank you for loving us, Lord God. You love us, Lord God, right where we are. But you love us so much, you refuse to leave us right where we are. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We receive your mercy. Lord God, we receive your grace. Lord God, we receive your Holy Ghost fire. We receive your joy. We receive your peace. We receive hope, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let your mercy fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Empty us of us. Let your mercy fall. Cleanse our minds with hyssop. Let your mercy fall. Break us, Lord God, and let all that mess come out, Lord God, and then super glue us back. And let your mercy fall so we can contain your mercy. And that Lord God, that everything you've given us, you want us to give it away. As you're merciful with us, may we be merciful with others, Lord. And Lord God, let it begin with us in this place. May we be merciful and kind and gentle and loving to one another, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.